those lines.
As boys' lines.
As bored as lions. As bold as lions.
As bold as lions.
You're listening to the As Bold as Lions podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the As Bold as Lions podcast. My name is Derek. Great to have you join me over these next few minutes. As we've been going through the month of April, I've been going into just some old content, some new stuff, all of it kind of standalone episodes that I believe just the direction where God wants me to go for this month. And so hopefully that's been enjoyable for you. Hopefully there's been some things that have encouraged you, maybe challenged you somewhat. And just as FYI, this is my last episode for April. I'm going to take the last week off and then hit the ground running again in May. And series coming up in May, it's kind of a catch-all for some various topics, some things that I'd like to cover. And the title of that, it's going to be Stuff That's Been On My Mind. So each week, might be three, maybe four episodes, I'm not sure yet. But Stuff That's Been On My Mind, maybe some of these things will be a trigger point for you too that you've thought about. Not triggering, I hope, but just something that you strikes a chord with you, just in some alignment of what maybe you're some things that you are thinking about. And so, just a teaser kind of for that to stay tuned. This being the last episode for April, a week off, then in May, like May 6th or something like that. I'm not sure on my dates. Yeah, I guess I wrote down May 6th, so hopefully that's right. That's a Monday. Will be where we're going. Just to kind of put that out there for those who are kind of keeping track of those types of things. But for today, just going into a blog that I wrote back in 2022, so almost a couple of years now, was actually a blog for the month of June that year, and it was something that I guess I didn't do a podcast about, never talked about it here, and I think I'd been going into some other content on the podcast, so just kind of skipped over it. But as I was going back and looking at some things, I felt like there's just some good stuff still there to bring back and dust off a little bit. It's interesting because when I go back to an old blog or listen to an old podcast, maybe a few years ago, I've been doing this since 2017. So there's quite a bit that's kind of out there now. But when I go back to some of that stuff, it's kind of like going through an old journal or a diary. I don't know if anybody writes in diaries anymore, but you kind of learn a little bit more about yourself even from some of those things that you go back and read or listen to, because man, what was going on in my life during that time? What was I facing? What were the challenges? And did I learn something from that? Have I grown? Kind of similar for me and even what I'm bringing into today's episode of that, just God giving me kind of a fresh view on all of this as I look back on this, this topic. And you see the title, it says God Fights for You. That was the title of this blog. And so just going back to this, the story that accompanies this text that is from the Old Testament. And just learning again from it, kind of just getting a fresh set of eyes on something that he's shown me before. And so hopefully something that will do that for you as well. I want to start out with a verse from this passage. It's 2 Chronicles, and it's chapter 20, verse 17. This kind of gives us some direction for where we're going. It says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. As I'm going through my Bible reading plans, and some years I'm trying to get through the whole Bible in a year. Some years it's more as much as what I can get through, and kind of a little slower pace. But every year that I come through these books of the kind of historical books, as they call them, in the Old Testament, like 1st and 2nd Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, about 6 different books there. Those are, to me, some of the most interesting narratives and storylines within the entire Bible, just because there's a lot going on. There's heroic battles, there's prophetic appointments, the rise and fall of various kings. And then tucked away into the book of 2 Chronicles is a story that just reminds me of God's faithfulness in the battles that we face. 2 Chronicles 20, I'm getting my books mixed up here. 2 Chronicles 20 recounts a battle that Judah faces under King Jehoshaphat, and they're going against the armies of Moab and Ammon, the Moabites and the Ammonites. So 2 Chronicles 20 is a story. And as most battles go with Israel, with Judah, with various nations, they're not in favor of God's people. They're outnumbered, they're outmatched, and it's kind of this David and Goliath sort of situation for them. And even the king here is afraid. He's not certain what to do. He's the king, and he's not even looking forward to this at all. But to his credit, he knows the one place that he needs to go for counsel. He and the nation must seek the face of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3 and 4, then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, and Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So he's getting his nation ready. He knows, like, if we're going to win this thing, if we're going to be victorious, we need to go to the Lord. We need his help. And in verses 5 through 12 of this chapter, his prayer to the Lord is recorded. And this is a tone-setting prayer for the battle. He's calling upon the Lord, verse 9, to hear and to save. He's petitioning him. And by the conclusion, he's acknowledging that Judah is a powerless state. It can't win this on its own. It has nowhere else to turn but the Lord. In verse 12, it says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And I just think of any nation today that would acknowledge that, any leader that would turn his face to the Lord and point the people of his country to the Lord in such a way that he would realize, man, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We need your help, oh God. How powerful would that be? And even as an aside to today's content, just a reminder to pray for our leaders, a reminder to say, you know, God, you can turn the hearts of men and women back to you. We know there's evil and wickedness throughout our government, throughout a lot of what goes on and comes down kind of from the top. But we're praying that you would turn the eyes of our people to you, that you can do that. And we see that in the Old Testament with various kings, that they do turn to the Lord. So as I'm delivering this episode today and going back and refreshing this content, this blog that they wrote a couple of years ago, I'm thinking about you, the person listening on the other end, and taking this all in. Whether you're in a battle right now or you're just getting prepared for what might lie ahead, I believe there's a lot that we can gain from this passage. And I know it's easy to say, well, that was thousands of years ago, and I don't know if God operates like that anymore. I don't know if he does things that way. But I couldn't disagree more. I believe the takeaways that we can have from this passage, they directly parallel things that we face right now. And this podcast digs into this text and pulls out some key points that serve as reminders as we go into the wars, we fight the daily battles that we're facing. Some things that we know are that the enemy is real and the battle is real. We know stuff is happening right now around us. But in the midst of all of that, the God we trust in is real as well. And don't miss that. He's calling us not to run and hide, but to stand up to our fears and stand in obedience. And really, I learned that from scripture all the time, especially in a chapter like this, where it's like, they went to the Lord. They didn't cower. They didn't run away from the fight, but they went in and they pressed into his presence. So we're going to use this chapter as a backdrop. If you want to keep a finger on, 2 Chronicles 20 or your phone on it, you're welcome to. But otherwise, if you just want to listen, we're going to dive right in. Some 3 points today to discuss. The first one being the battle is the Lord's. Just a simple declaration. The battle is the Lord's. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, this army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So Jehoshaphat seeks the Lord, and he calls for, he ordains, sets apart a fast for the land. And then in response to this, the Holy Spirit comes upon a man named Jahaziel, and he prophesies over Judah, to Judah and the king. And the beginning of his words are in verse 15. From there, he then outlines the battle plan that God has for the nation. And this is the verse that I read earlier, 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. It is clear that the victory is not going to come because something that Judah does. They're not going to earn this victory themselves. It's going to come because of the Lord. You know, so often as Christians, we think we have to do something in addition to the prayers and the petitions that we bring to the Lord, to God, saying, I can't just, you know, pray and just leave it at the altar. I can't just give it over completely. I have to make something else happen somehow. It's hard to just sit and wait and be patient. But being totally reliant on the Lord for an answer, that's a hard position. It's difficult. It takes patience. It takes trusting. It takes knowing sometimes that the answer doesn't come immediately. But if we're committed to the battle plan and seeing it fought the right way, we believe and we come to see that God is trustworthy. And we can look at the foe that we might be up against. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a health need, some concern in our lives. And we can see the mounting list of reasons that we won't win, of why we're doomed to fail. And we kind of put ourselves into the battle, realizing like, I can't, you know, come up with the money I need. I can't find the job I need. I can't fix this health need. But if God is calling us to put aside our fear, we have to do that and we have to seek his plan. And when we do, we see it's not us who's doing the fighting. It's God. He's fighting the battle. And that's the key takeaway that I have in this very first point, is that the battle is the Lord's. We sing about that. We sing songs that say the battle belongs to God. We read these scriptures, but do we take that to heart to just say, I don't have to fight this anymore. This is yours, God, and I'm going to give it over to you. I'm going to give it back to you because I've been wrestling with it. And I realize, like, I can't win it, but you can. So that's the first thing I have, is that we've got to just give it over to the Lord. It's his. Second point is worship comes before the victory. A couple of verses here goes on to talk about what's going on. Verses 21 and 22. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went out before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come out against Judah, so that they were routed. They come out and they say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. They're proclaiming, they're worshiping. And this is kind of a theme. And of course, you know, this is one of those things as we talk about Old Testament and New Testament, and people say, well, that worked back then, but you know, this is 2024, and you know, how do we fight battles with sending the worship team out front before the army? And it does seem a little backwards, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like that's how you want to go fight something. But this is the manner in which the victory comes. Praise goes up. The worship and exaltation of the Lord occurs. He's praised. He's lifted up. And the army is led out by those who are the singers. Those are the worshipers. Verse 23 talks about their ambush that occurs then. That God comes in and sets an ambush against the enemy. They're routed and really defeated by their own infighting. And yes, we can look at this as kind of odd and say, you know, worshiping first, you know, what if you lose? Isn't that going to be a waste of time to focus there? Why don't you just start getting into the battle and figure out how you're going to fight, how you're going to win? And I think often in my life, I devote time to worship the Lord when I'm facing some sort of difficulty. Not necessarily when things are great, but it's when, man, there's this big thing I'm facing. Now I'll start worshiping. But in my own power, I want to figure out how to overcome. Like there's still this natural tendency to say, I want to fight. I want to figure this out, God. I'll figure it out somehow. But really, before God is going to intervene, he's looking at my heart. He's looking at your heart. Am I going to praise him at the onset? Am I going to be willing to give him the glory so that the credit for whatever happens, it goes to him? That the worship goes up first before any sort of battle ensues. And I know it's not a natural response. We don't naturally go to that place. Our flesh wants to fight it on its own. But it's the thing that we must consider. Am I worshiping before I go into the battle? And how does my perspective then change about the battle, the war, whatever's in front of me, when I allow my praise to lead me into it? That really worship then becomes our weapon. And thinking of things that way, through that lens, rather than just stopping short and saying, well, maybe I'll worship after we get to victory, maybe I'll worship, you know, at some other point, but worship must come before we even set foot on the battlefield. So the first two points, the battle is the Lord, worship comes before the victory. Third thing I have is the enemies of God run in fear. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 29, and the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. An amazing thing happens as a result of Judah's defeat. They soundly defeat Moab and Ammon. There's no other enemy that wants to fight them. The news gets out and everybody's afraid now of them. And the favor of the Lord comes upon King Jehoshaphat, comes upon his land, and they have rest and they have quiet and they have peace. His reign totaled 25 years, and much of that time was without war. And this is remarkable in a time in which nations were always going to war. There's always somebody that they're fighting against. And it seemed that the people of Judah and Israel, they're always in some kind of strife, some kind of conflict with somebody else. and often even with each other, Judah and Israel. So in seeking God's face and following the battle plan correctly, Judah experiences a blessing that extends beyond just a win on the battlefield. So God's given them the win there, but it's a win that then has ripple effects into these other lands and these other nations. And they're experiencing the favor of the Lord, a long-lasting favor of the Lord, which is an amazing thing. Thinking of that in our own lives, of the favor that we can experience in our homes, and that can even be something that's passed onto generations, that there's generational blessings or curses. We read about this again in the Bible. And when we live in his favor and in his blessing, that's something that can then be passed along to the generations that outlive us. When we align ourselves to God's plan for our lives, Satan takes note. And certainly he will take aim at us, and he's going to try to tempt us and get us on some other alternate path or some shortcut that's going away from God's best. But when we truly walk in victory, the enemy has to flee. Psalm 95 verse 7 talks about we are the Lord's and we are the sheep of his pasture. The enemy has to know that he cannot touch us. The blood of Jesus upon us is something that sets us apart. That blood's over the doorpost of your home. Think of the Passover. The enemy can't touch you. He can't come in and harm you. The shepherd protects his flock, and this is good news for us in Christ. We have that same access to rest and to quiet that ancient Judah enjoy this period of rest and just knowing that God is going to take care of them. We have that same access to that, and we can walk in a place of victory because the Lord has defeated Satan. So those main points today, just from this story in 2 Chronicles 20, the battle is the Lord's, the worship comes before the victory, and then the enemies of God run in fear. And just kind of acknowledging that as we, like I said, as we go into our lives each day, taking what's an example from Scripture and putting it into the context of what we're facing today. We cover quite a bit of ground doing these monthly blogs, these weekly podcasts, kind of all over in different spots, right? We go down certain directions and kind of try to hear from the Lord, and that's my goal, is to share things that I think are uplifting and will encourage you. But I think one of the most important takeaways personally for me, and I, again, as I talk about what I mentioned at the beginning of this episode and just going back and refreshing previous things I've written, previous things that I was going through and dealing with and looking at it with a fresh set of eyes a period of time later, I know that I have to walk in a place of victory. And that's still something that I struggle with today, that I'm not in that place because I'm trying to win the battle on my own. I'm trying to pick up the sword and the spear and go out and do this in my own strength. But that mind shift should happen, and then should impact the way that I'm looking at the trials I'm facing and the difficulties. Every battle that I'm going into is saying, I'm already fighting from a place of victory. Jesus has already won it. How would that affect the trials that I'm facing? If you truly came at it from that perspective of like, God, you've already won this battle. You're already in control of this situation. Everything's already been secured by my Savior. How would that affect the trials that we face? I think we would go about life with such a completely different just posture and confidence. You know, with Judah, the Lord, he set this battle plan out for them, and it was locked tight. It was like airtight. You just follow this. It's going to work. He's going to deliver you. Stand in obedience. Get your praise on before you get in the battle. And then just watch him with the victory. Watch the enemy flee. Experience that favor that comes. And I say, what's truly different for us? Is there anything that's different? No. We're serving the same God. We have access to the same power and authority that Judah had, that King Jehoshaphat had. And to just say amen to that. Like we're living in the same authority and confidence that they had. So today I hope that this podcast encourages you to think a bit differently than how you've been thinking towards trials. In some ways we can get so emotionally involved, and we see that in this passage. The king was afraid. The people are afraid. We can be afraid. We can be anxious. We can be like, wow, I don't know how I can possibly see victory in this area. And that emotional aspect where our fear gets ramped up and we get concerned, all of those things can cause us to not really see clearly, at least in Christ. And it was after prayer, it was after fasting, it was after that dedicated time seeking the Lord that then things started to align and they saw, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. It's time to do it. It's time to go forward. It's time to be obedient. God does not withhold his best from us. I believe that. As we seek him, as we're after his heart, he's not going to withhold himself from us. He's a good father, and he delights in giving good gifts to his children. Matthew 7, verse 11, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Guys, he's not up there just, you know, biting his nails, like, are they going to be able to figure this out? Are they going to be able to do this? He's not up there washing his hands of everything and saying, you know, it's up to you. He wants us to run to him. Nothing is too big or bold for us to ask him of it. I get prayer requests every week on my Facebook wall because I ask for them on Mondays. And I've got prayer requests for cancer, healings from that. I've got deliverance for addiction, for marriages to be restored, for people to come to know Christ, for job situations, for housing situations. There's so many things that people are wrestling with and facing right now. And in some of those situations, and all of them, I wanted to say, stand firm, stand in victory. He's already defeated the enemy. You already have the victory in Christ, but claim it. Claim it and stand in that authority that you already have and press into his presence. We get so discouraged by the battle that we leave the presence of the Lord. We leave the one thing that we need to run to. And so that's where I want to leave you guys today. And I encourage you to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, read this passage and pray over it and just kind of ruminate over it a few more minutes or even over the next few days to just think about this. Think about this battle plan. Are you worshiping? Are you praying? Are you bringing the battle before the Lord and allowing him to have the victory? I pray that you are. And for anybody that's dealing with something that would want to reach out to me, email me at info@DerekCharlesJohnson.com. I'd love to follow up with you and continue praying with you and just seeing God do something miraculous in your life, because he will do it. I believe it. So we are ending, as we always do, with our charge from Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. And looking forward to where we're going next. Hope you've enjoyed these kind of individual thoughts over the month of April of different episodes that we've been able to cover. And looking at some interesting things for next month. Hope you're intrigued to check it out. But Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Take care. God bless you guys.
Hey, guys. This is Derek Charles Johnson. You have been listening to the As Bold as Lions podcast. I am a blogger, a songwriter, an artist. And if you've been encouraged by this podcast, please go ahead and subscribe and share. And head over to DerekCharlesJohnson.com for more encouraging content. God bless.